That just shows you the state of where things are right now. Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's get a palate cleanser here, shall we, with a nice producer six-pack.
All right. I liked my college football true or false questions from earlier, so I'm going to incorporate some of those in with the questions in the six-pack tonight. But the six-pack can go wherever, so.
That's right.
Here we go, sir. Here we go. DJ Lagway returned to practice for Florida this week after missing time with a strained calf that followed him in the spring, missing spring with injured sports hernia, and then had shoulder surgery, so DJ's been all kind of banged up, the hamstring last year. Does DJ Lagway play a full season in 2025 for the Florida Gators?
Doesn't sound like it, based off of his injury history. Here's a serious question that I don't know the answer to. How good is their O-line going to be, right? They're going to have to protect his patoot, so if they can't hold up their end of the bargain, he is oft injured, so he's not, you know, one of these Anthony Richardson body types. He's slim. He's slender. He clearly doesn't have the ability to take, you know, punishment at a consistent basis that has shown the ability for him to stay upright. You mentioned, like, three different things off the top there.
Calf, and they weren't just in the shoulder. Same area. They were all over the place.
So he is an equal opportunity offender. When it comes to injuries, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he misses at least a couple of games. You think he's viewed as having NFL prospects right now?
I mean, it's just when he plays, he looks really good. He's got an NFL arm. You mentioned, too, kind of being fragile, but he's got an NFL body, but I don't know what that NFL body, like you said, can hold up to just taking – and guys, too, sometimes they just have to learn that, hey, I can't be – the invincible wonder that I was in high school here in college, because while I was 6'3", 235 pounds, and I might have been one of the biggest guys on the field in high school, 6'3", 235 might be the size of a starting safety in the SEC.
Yeah, he's bigger than I thought. He's 6'3", 247. He doesn't look that way to me, though.
It's evenly distributed, I guess.
Yeah, like he does not give up. He doesn't give off Cam Newton, you know.
Cam was a different breed.
Anthony Richardson, like he doesn't give that off to me. I'm surprised.
But yeah, like you said, though, just being able to take that physical play.
But even if you are that size, everybody's different.
It is.
I mean, so not everybody takes the same punishment.
Everybody's body.
Yeah, everybody's body. Does not take punishment the same way. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he misses at least a couple of games. Last season finished with 1,900 yards and 12 touchdowns through the air to go along with 100. Well, he didn't really run.
It was
50 carries for 100 yards.
Yeah, something like that. Then
nice.
55%, close to mid-50 completion percentage. So there's room to grow, but the direction that guy will stick at quarterback is going to be an interesting watch down there in Florida, as he's tied to pretty much the coaching life of one Billy Napier down there.
So. No, that's true. If they don't have a good year, and the SEC is going to be tough.
And that Florida schedule is going to be even tougher.
Brutal.
All right. We saw Kyren Williams get a new deal. I think it's $33 million.
33 for three, I think it was, or a two.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like it's a deal that's going to reset the running back market. But here in Atlanta, we've got a guy who is special, very, very special in Bijan Robinson. Does his deal coming up reset the running back market?
Let's take a look, shall we? Saquon Barkley's your highest right now at 20 a year. Is Bijan going to get more than that? Probably.
Wait, you go 20. 4, 23 with Bijan.
So Saquon got 41 total, 36 guaranteed. They're going to give him an even 50?
Ooh.
50 with 42 guaranteed?
It's the price you pay for getting a really good running back who turns out to be really good. You got to pay him.
McCaffrey second at 38 with only 24 guaranteed. Henry's third with 30 total, 25 guaranteed. Jonathan Taylor, 42 total, 19 guaranteed.
Oh, I forgot he got that big deal, too. Yeah.
Kamara's still up there. Aaron Jones. Josh Jacobs got 48, but only 12 guaranteed. Man, does Bijan break 50? He has to, right?
I think he has to.
I think you'd argue he has to. Yeah, I'm going to say he resets the market. It's at least 50 total, and, you know, 85% of it's going to be guaranteed.
We alluded to this a little bit during the Frank Schwab interview, but Mr. Kittle for the 49ers. Happened to break some news during an NFL Network interview piece with Fred Warner. Came up, George did, and let the people know that they just got a memo that smelling salts have been banned in the NFL. Smelling salts are no more. Is this good for the league?
Now, here's the question. Here's what I don't know. Are smelling salts in high volume use bad for you, or worse than that, dangerous? I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what a quick Google search says. Are smelling salts bad for you?
Mike Bell said that using them could allow somebody who might have a concussion or concussion-like symptoms to kind of trick the test.
Okay, here's in high concentrations can be toxic and cause seizures or respiratory failure. Okay, but how much is that?
Oh, that's not good. But how much are you using at that point? Yeah.
Is that, you know, a salt shaker's worth that you fill up and then
just leave it up to your nose for a very extended period of time?
I have no idea. Benefits can be used to revive someone who has fainted, temporary boost in alertness and focus. Other risks include irritation to the eyes, nose, and throat, headaches, dizziness, nausea, can worsen conditions such as asthma. Can be misused as a recreational drug leading to addiction.
No, don't want to do that.
So apparently these are addictive.
Just walk around the club.
Yeah, smelling salts.
With smelling salts and just, hey.
Like, guys, I got a stash.
I got to go to the bathroom real quick.
I got a stash of the good white stuff.
You come back from the bathroom, man, you're extremely energetic.
Why are you sweating?
Boost.
And why are your eyes bulging out of your head like Adam Gase and his intern talked to me?
Man, it's the soap. The bathroom soap is just, it's invigorating.
I wonder if he did some smelling salts before the press conference. He might have.
With the open eyes.
With the eyes and the tacos following him along.
That would make sense. That would make perfect sense if that happened.
But the question was, is this a good – looking at this, you would think so, right? You don't want these guys doing this. It seems like it's something if you do it once in a while to, like, get an energy boost back, it's fine. But if you make it a habit, it's not good.
You're doing every Sunday.
Like most junk food, smoking, drinking, all that kind of stuff.
Moderation, man. Moderation.
Well, a lot of these athletes, though, are very regimented. And if something becomes a part of their routine,
hey,
it's hard to break it.
Extremely hard to break it. This weekend, we saw Luka Doncic get broke off. He got an extension from...
Well, this is a mini break off.
Mini break off, what it could be, yes. The last year is the player option, which is what they do for all the big-time players now. So you can opt out and then re-up and then get more money. Curious. All of his Laker teammates attended the press conference,
but,
with the exception of one person,
but,
LeBron James.
And?
Oh, I didn't know who the other person was.
His son.
Oh, well, both the Jameses were not. That makes sense, yes. It was reported, though, that before the press conference started, LeBron did FaceTime Luka. Apparently, LeBron had Backstreet Boys tickets at the Sphere in Vegas that he could not pass up on.
Tell me why. He
could not miss that concert, so that's why he was in Vegas.
Tell me why.
Much has been made about this whole Luka and LeBron dynamic now. With Luka getting this extension, it's kind of signaling that he might be the future of this Lakers team while LeBron is still there. Maybe LeBron has hurt feelings. So my next question to you, sir, is... does LeBron finish out his career in Los Angeles?
I'm going to say no. I think he goes back to Cleveland for one more year and has a ceremonial season where everybody bestows gifts upon his throne, and he goes out of Cleveland Cavalier the way he started. That's my prediction. But I don't think that'll be for two more seasons, let's say. I think he has a couple more years left because he's still so damn good.
At 40, ridiculous.
If he feels okay, which only he knows, like, he looks amazing still, but does he feel okay?
He spends so – we talk about regiment stuff like that. He spends so much money in the offseason and during the season just making sure his body – that's why for a guy who has as much wear and tear, if you add in the playoff runs, the Olympic runs – it's three or four additional seasons of basketball he's played.
I mean, how
on
many,
top of the regular seasons he's already done?
How many players are there in the league right now in 2025 that you would take their current physique over LeBron's? Giannis, probably one. Is there anybody else that you would take their current physique?
I mean, you got some guys who would be like Jalen Duren for the Pistons.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude is just one big solid muscle.
Desmond Bane,
yeah. But
LeBron is still in the top, what, 10?
Yeah, he's still from an athletic standpoint, he doesn't have very many peers in the NBA, even at 40, from a just going out there and just being healthy and being LeBron.
And just being 250 pounds of solid muscle.
Yeah, it doesn't.
He has zero. He's still at 41 years old. The dude has zero. I actually think he probably has less body fat now than when he was playing heavier with the Heat.
And you know more now too in terms of physical fitness. And today, for example, I saw a video posted of he and Savannah doing Pilates. LeBron.
And that's the sort of stuff that's going to extend. As stupid as it sounds, and as much as everybody wants to mock it, there's a reason, you know, he's broken down a little bit more over the last couple of years, but there's a reason why for 15 straight years, dude played every game.
LeBron at 25, I don't know, is as heavy into Pilates as LeBron at 40 is. So.
No, he was probably throwing around, you know.
Heavyweights, man.
Yeah, he was like
throwing heavyweights around.
He didn't like to talk about it, but he was like 275 pounds.
Huge. He was humongous. Humongous. Okay. I don't know if you saw this video. It's gone viral. The Seattle Kraken, they were doing some fishing up in Alaska, and they were in this lake.
Wait, this is real?
This is real.
I only read about this. I thought this was AI deepfake.
No, this really happened.
Oh,
really
tell
happened.
The people this story.
So, yeah, a player and the mascot were in this river in Alaska fishing, and all of a sudden a bear shows up, and they go, oh, we got to move here. There's a bear. And as they move, the bear doesn't stop going the direction that they're going. And they turn their backs and they decide, I guess we got to go ahead and stop this video now. And as they're filming, you see the bear take off and begin to sprint at the Seattle Kraken mascot. The Kraken mascot, I guess, when that happens, I don't know if you're supposed to, when a bear runs at you, you're not supposed to run.
No, you're supposed to actually, what they tell you to do is, I was listening to a podcast about this today, because they got into the topic of this and nobody could tell if it was real or not. You're supposed to stand still, drop whatever you're holding that the bear wants, especially if it's food, put your arms up big, and make a big noise.
Make a big scene.
Yeah. But don't, like, go crazy.
No.
Like,
no.
Just like, assert your presence.
Don't do anything to, you know, you want to assert, but at the same time, don't piss the bear off.
Yeah, like, you know, just let out like a like, and put your hands up and make yourself as big as possible.
My question for you, sir, is there an animal in the wild that you think you could take?
No. I don't underestimate animals, man. You know why? They don't care.
They don't.
Animals do not care.
They do
you
not
know
care.
What animals don't have? Feelings.
Emotions.
They have one object in mind. Well, two.
Reason. They don't have reason.
The animals want two things, to eat and to mate. And if you are interfering with either of those processes, they will try to kill you.
You will get got.
I'm not messing with snakes. I'm not messing with birds. I'm not messing with, you know, goats or any. I'm not messing with anything, man. I am not. I know what these animals' endgame is. And they do not care about your feelings. They don't care if you have a family back home. They don't care how much money you're worth. If you are in their way, they know one way, and that is through you. Not around you. Through you. You're telling me if you come across, like, you know, like a leopard, like a mountain lion, like while you're hiking, your first thought is, Well, you know, I'm going to grab him from behind and I'm going to try to squeeze him by the neck. No, do you understand?
Fight this thing. No, no.
That thing's claws will decapitate you so fast, you will not even remember the last 5 seconds you were alive. It will absolutely obliterate you. Do not think, ladies and gentlemen out there, that you can conquer nature. You are not Steve Irwin. You are Joe Schmo. And we are all just in the way.
You will lose.
That we are just in the way. That is all we are.
As Abe tells me sometimes, just remember the animals. Whenever you're outside, you're the away team.
Oh, yeah. And the same thing for the ocean, especially, too.
The moment you put a foot in the ocean, you're the away team.
And you are subject to whatever happens to you. All right, good job on the six-pack. Oh, coming back, we'll hear what Caleb Johnson has to say. Hawks fans, don't miss this. We have a very important update for you that you need to hear. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going to talk some dogs with our next guest as we transition from the end of the NBA offseason and all the big moves to dogs are getting ready to play in just a few short weeks. And Caleb Johnson is going to be all over it for us. And Caleb, I want to start here with a little bit of Hawks news that's just dropping today. I want to get your take on this. Let's listen to a quick soundbite. Mark Spears, ESPN senior NBA reporter, was on today talking about how Trae Young feels about the lack of movement, let's call it, on a max extension.
There's a new front office in Atlanta that's trying to make decisions, but what I'm hearing now at this point, and you could tell by Trae's tweet, and I saw him during the finals, I think he's disappointed that it hasn't come. It hasn't been offered. So don't be surprised at this point that he plays this out and sees what happened next summer. But to me, Trae has nothing to prove.
Okay, Caleb Johnson, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I would say if there is anyone in the national media who would have a good line on what Trae Young thinks and would not necessarily overspeak, it is Mark Spears. Because, in fact, Trae and Mark did a bit of a panel back when the NBA Finals were going on in Oklahoma City, of course, where Trae Young is kind of somewhat from in that area. And so, I mean, after seeing the Micah Parsons tweet, you know, our the Trae's tweet about Micah Parsons in relation to, yeah, if a guy wants to stay in a place long term, you should get a deal done. That wasn't just about Micah Parsons, obviously. I think that was clearly Trae trying to say, hey, you know, he has not been shy in wanting to be in Atlanta and wanting to make this work long term. I'm sure it's just a matter of getting a number that both sides are comfortable with, because as much as it would make sense for the Hawks to not give Trae a max extension, because, well, that just is going to take up so much cap room and makes it more difficult to bring in additional players. That's what Trae, I'm sure, is going to want to. He's going to want the max. His agent is going to be going after the max. And I was of the opinion that, hey, based on the fact that Trae does want to be here long term, maybe this thing can work towards you don't give him the full max, but you still give him somewhat of a pay raise and enough that he's comfortable. And then De'Aaron Fox went and signed a max with the San Antonio Spurs this past week and really kind of, I think, blew up what was probably some positive negotiations that, if I have to imagine, if Trae's camp right now is going, hey, we're not talking to you on Cisella unless you are giving us the max, then there's not going to be a conversation to be had. And then, yeah, maybe there is a point in which Trae just plays this contract out and, you know, kind of sees what happens at the end of the season. So it's just it's not the biggest deal if a deal doesn't get done this offseason. It just would make things a little bit more clear for this front office But yeah, it's certainly been an interesting few days with you know, De'Aaron Fox getting that deal done and trying to figure out, do the Hawks just bite the bullet and go, hey, we're going to pay the guy because we have associated ourselves with him and we want him around long term.
Okay, I'm not asking you to play pop psychologist, but I guess I am. Why would Trae Young accept anything other than the max?
I think if there is a world in which Trae accepts anything less than the max, it's because he truly believes in Ansi Salehe and this front office and them putting a team around Trae to be a contender. Now, I would think the only way that happens is if the Hawks go on a really impressive run, you know, this upcoming season, and they get deep into the playoffs, and then they go, hey, Trae, if you'll just take a little bit less, we can put a better team around you, and we can make things work. I don't think right now that Trae would want to take anything less than the max, because if we're honest, it hasn't been until literally this past off season that the Hawks have done things that make you strongly believe, oh, okay, this is a true team that makes sense and fits with Trae's skill sets in order to have the best success. Most of the time it's been, well, that's a move that I could see working out, and that's a move that I don't really get that one, but maybe it'll all work out, and then we've seen how this all has sort of played out. There is this factor, Chris, to take into account, because this has certainly played a part in times past, which is Tony Ressler is not just an owner who stands by and lets the people who are in charge make the decisions. Now, he will come out and say that publicly, but we know pretty much for a fact that in times past, especially following their run to the Eastern Conference Finals, that there were deals being worked on that Tony came in and said, get it done. I don't care what it takes, get it done. And so that meant that the Hawks overpaid for certain players, and then things didn't work out. And now you found yourself in a really sort of interesting situation where the Hawks traded John Collins to the Jazz essentially as a salary dump, and have since there have been pieces that have gone in place that include the Hawks trading George Niang to Boston, who now George Niang today got traded to Utah as a part of the Utah Jazz John Collins trade exception. So it kind of feels a bit circular that it's kind of gone all the way around from those times. But yeah, that's certainly one of those things that I don't know if you gave Trae the max that you'd be looking at it 3 years down the road as, man, the Hawks really overpaid Trae. I think it's just a matter of roster construction, if you're staying under the cap as the Hawks have been doing, that in order to, you know, avoid these tax aprons that can pop up on you, especially if you decide to start spending some more money, that you just want to keep his number as low as you can possibly get him.
Talking all things Hawks and dogs with Caleb Johnson here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you give him a follow at ATL Johnson 18. How much of the last couple of years of lack of success for the Hawks do you think is playing into this?
You know, I think that's certainly a part of it, I would say, for ownership and then for a guy like Trae, because he has been here. I think the interesting part of this whole, you know, kind of puzzle piece that's getting put together is Ansi. Is the fact that, I mean, the guy hasn't been on the job but a few months, and he is already being looked at amongst the league as one of the better GMs just because of the moves that he's been able to pull off so far. It actually makes me think of kind of how Alex Anthopoulos came in with the Braves when he started doing things that caught everybody a little bit off guard. And then you still felt like, well, I'm getting a good deal. And then, you know, other GMs are looking at it months later going like, wow, I really got fleeced there. That I think it kind of reached a point where Alex has had a little bit of a tougher time pulling off deals, because I do think teams are like, if Alex is taking a look at him, maybe we should take a second look. I'm wondering if we kind of get to that point with Ansi. But I think he's the one part of this whole puzzle piece that's really kind of caused this thing to go in a more positive direction, where I do think if there is someone who can convince Trey of doing something best for the team, it would be Ansi. And it's based on how he has just treated this particular offseason. I still think it's going to take more than just this offseason, but certainly on paper, this team looks like it could be really competitive, and now we get to wait and see. Is this another season of you know, kind of disappointment where injuries play a part? Because certainly I think that would be a part of it for Trey too, of him wanting to stick around. You know, if Jalen Johnson runs into a big injury, it's like, okay, maybe it's time to do something different. Or you know, if it's someone else, you know, if the Kristaps thing doesn't work out and he's only able to play 40 games, then I think, you know, the kind of the calculus changes and you evaluate what you want to do a little bit differently. So that's why I've been this offseason thinking that a deal doesn't end up getting done, but I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
All right, we got our first coaches poll out, the most recent one for this season, Caleb, and UGA comes in at number 4. Too high, too low, just right?
You know, it's interesting. So I guess as much as I've paid attention, I hadn't seen the coaches poll. Who are the three teams above Georgia right now? Because that doesn't sound too crazy, but I guess I need to be reminded of the teams.
Yeah, Texas is number 1, Ohio State okay. is 2, and Penn State's number 3.
All right, I mean, Penn State, how cute. Like, haven't we been doing this for a while now where, you know, no shot at our boss Mike Conti, but his Nittany Lions has certainly been a team that I think the expectations are constantly there, and you know, you talk about a team much better on paper than they are when it's actually things are played out, especially in high pressure games. But for a preseason poll, I'm fine with it. I mean, certainly you have to tip your cap to Ohio State. They're the national champions and they took it pretty, like there was no doubt in my mind when I watched that national championship at Mercedes-Benz Stadium that Ohio State was anything other than the best team in the country. And so for them to take that, I think certainly the hype around Texas because of how competitive they were last year, and the simple fact is people believe very strongly in Arch Manning, whether that's right or wrong, and they don't believe very strongly in Gunnar Stockton. Now, is that because one has a more well-known last name? Probably, because I think the question marks should be just as strong around Arch Manning as they should be around Gunnar Stockton. You've got two guys who are unproven, who didn't get a lot of playing time, and when they did get playing time, I think it was a bit incomplete and inconsistent. And so certainly because Arch has the last name Manning, he is going to get a lot of credit for things that he has not accomplished yet. But the skill set is certainly there. I think, you know, kind of with that being the case, I'm fine with Ohio State and Texas being up there. I would probably put Georgia at number 3, but I think a lot of their roster right now is a bit unproven, especially their defensive line. Like I was talking on a podcast recently about the fact that Christian Miller has got to be a guy who steps up and takes the place of guys who have been before him. Your Jalen Carters, your Jordan Davis, your Nazir Stackhouses, like those types of guys. I think Christian Miller's has got to be the next one in that line to step up. And otherwise, people are asking a lot of questions about who Georgia can be. You're giving them credit a lot, really, because of Kirby and because of what you've seen in the past. But certainly, you know, they don't have the toughest test right out of the gate. This is kind of a good warm-up for them getting Marshall week one.
All right, Caleb, we'll be switching our coverage full-time to UGA. I was planning on doing it tonight, but then this news about Trey and the contract just dropped from Mark Spears. So I was like, oh, well, perfect. We're having Caleb on anyway. So we'll see what happens with the contract for Trey. But we'll be talking dogs, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. The weather, I know we're getting false fall right now, but I am ready for fall. I'm ready for football. I'm ready to get this going.
Yeah, me too. All right, my friend, we'll talk next week.
All right, have a good one.
All right, that is Caleb Johnson there. Yeah, that is very true, because right now it's like 74 degrees outside at the max today. It was in the low 60s last night. I had the most pleasant walk home I've had in 6 months here in Atlanta. It was absolutely perfect. But it'll be 86 degrees again next week. Don't you worry, Atlanta and Georgians. We'll be right back into another 2.5-3 months of sweaty, swampy temperatures. Can't wait. All right, when we get back, we will continue our Falcons conversation. Brandon Dorlus spoke today. He's going to be an important piece for this team. He spoke about the first preseason and a whole lot more. I'll let you hear from him as we wrap up shop. Chris Thomas tonight.
Just can't think too much out there, especially in this defense. If you think, you stink. So if I'm doing everything how I did in practice on Friday, I feel like it would be a good day.
If you think, you stink. Okay. Remember that one, Falcons fans. That's interesting. He was a guy, really solid college player, mid-round pick in the NFL draft last year. He just had dudes in front of him. He had the guy that they drafted before him, Ruka Rotoro. They had Grady at the time. They had David Onyemata. They had Kentavious Street. They had Eddie Goldman. They just had bodies. And now a couple of those guys, obviously including Grady, have moved on, and he'll get a bigger chance to contribute this season. The next thing he was talking about was this defense and the way that they plan to attack.
The D-line is the engine of the defense, and we got to be the engine of the team, not just the defense. And every day, it got to look different. You know, we can't have one bad day up front, because everybody relies on us to have a great day. And if we have a bad day, it shows. And today was one of those days where, you know, I thought everybody on the D-line just showed up and just hit the attack gaps, and it was fun.
Well, we hope that there's a lot more of those in the future. He was a very nonchalant answer there from Brandon about the state of the defensive line, but it's important. We know that. Those guys in the middle need to be disruptors. They need to do their job so that this pass rush can hopefully finally produce something. And guys like Leonard Floyd and AK and Trice, if he can contribute, and Jalen Walker and JPJ, all the new faces we have in here, can really get this defensive end rotation going. He was also talking about what is the identity of this defense going to be?
I mean, everything's coming together slowly. You know, we got a lot to learn in this attack style front. But, you know, you could see it molding together. Like, today was the first day. Like, you could hear a lot of pads popping today. Mm-hmm. It was fun, very intense, very physical. But you can see every day is just new. A lot of things that show up. And I love it, man. It's a great defense to be in.
And that defense has been causing a lot of problems, especially in practice. They've been sticking their nose in, specifically James Pierce Jr., as we know, has been somebody that's been causing a lot of ruckus in practices. And I think that's led to a very spirited camp here. We had Tori McElhaney on a little bit earlier. You'll hear from her coming up as we wait for the Braves game to end here. And I asked her about that, the spirited nature of camp. And she basically said, yeah, I mean, this is one of the more physical camps the Falcons have had in a long time. And some of the younger guys like Pierce and Dorlus have been right in the middle of it. One more from Brandon. He was talking about Coach Ulbrich and what he brings.
My first impression with Brim was actually at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. And so, like, when I heard that he was coming in, I was like, oh, man, I already know what's coming. You know, he's kind of reminded me of, like, Tosh Lupoy with my DC back at Oregon. You know, a lot of energy every day, heart, mind, fist. That's what we rely on. And, you know, I just feed off the energy every day, and I love it.
I hope so, man. I know at the time when they first announced they were bringing him in, I didn't necessarily love the move, just because I think he's good defensive, you know, mind, but he's close to raw. And I think this team needs a kick in the butt in the worst way. And somebody that, you know, not necessarily stand up to Ra, but, you know, not be afraid to get in his ear and say, you know, what needs to be done and all those sorts of things. And Ulbrich went out of his way, and I remember it specifically because I was very pleased to hear it. He went out of his way in his opening presser to say, hey, listen, I am going to be that guy for Raheem. I am going to be the voice that he needs. I'm not afraid to talk shop and talk strategy and do all the things that need to be done. So hopefully that quells some of that concern that people like myself had, because I just wasn't entirely sure, excuse me, about, you know, bringing in a guy that's essentially a friend and a confidant. Is that, you know, how you want the room set up? Or do you want a guy that's going to be in there that says, hey, you know, Rah, like, this is not working, and we need to fix this, and we need to make things better. Before we wrap up here, Braves are looking to fight back. Bases loaded, two outs. They walked in a run. We'll see what they can do. Again, if you missed it, the NFL and ESPN, big deal. NFL Network is going to ESPN. Yes, you heard me correctly. It is a deal unlike really any I think I can ever remember happening, where essentially the NFL Network is now going to be run and operated by ESPN. What does that mean for talent? What does that mean for the shows that we like? Is it going to be a combination? Are some people going to stick and stay? Are some people going to go? I don't know. They did not make that clear. Also, apparently according to this merger, the NFL will still operate Red Zone through NFL Plus, but ESPN, it seems like, is going to get a version of Red Zone on their own. Does that mean commercial-filled Sundays on ESPN, but you get it for free if you have ESPN? Is there going to be a secondary package, so to speak, from ESPN? Maybe they're launching their direct-to-customer product soon. That's $29.99 a month. Is that going to include an ESPN-led version of Red Zone? I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens over the next couple of... Because football, I mean, it's like, it's here, so they're not going to have a ton of time to sort of sort these things out. They must already have a pretty well-thought-out plan in place. We shall see. But, yeah, that's very interesting news coming down today out of the NFL world. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Chris Thomas Tonight. Braves post-game show will come your way as soon as the last out of the game is recorded. We'll see. I mean, they're trying to make a little bit of a run here. Maybe they get a nice feel-good comeback win. Most likely not, because we know that's how the season has gone for the Atlanta Braves. I am off tomorrow.